This podcast is a presentation of Sandhills Community Church. For all the latest happenings, check us out at our website at www.sandhillschurch.org.
Did you guys actually come up with 10 traits of kind of the person you want to marry? Did you guys do that in your small groups? Good. Okay. Okay, so I want to hear some of those. First, just because I was with some of the guys, I want to hear from the girls. I don't know if you want to see this. What were some of the traits that you came up for the guy that you want to marry? Selfie stick, really, Sylvia? Really? There you go. As long as the Wise Up logo is in the picture, you're okay. So, okay, so who's got a trait? Give me one of the traits you guys put up.
Protective.
Protective. Ooh. Yeah, so not creepy protective, not like, you can't look at another man. I saw you going to the Dairy Queen, and I was like, there's other guys in the Dairy Queen. You can't go there. So not like that kind of protective, but good protective, right? Good protective. That's awesome. Kendall. Obviously, it has to be a Christian. I told my guys we couldn't even put that on our list because that needs to be an obvious, like, but that's a good one. Yeah, at least you said it. That's good. Loyalty. Why loyalty? Okay. Loyal, right. And that's more the, is that just loyal in, I was talking to my guys about this a little bit, is that just loyal in, like, physical, or are there other aspects of loyalty? Right. Yeah. He's not flirting with other girls. He's not spending time talking to other people. He's not doing all this kind of stuff. That's great. Kara? A leader. See, guys? You're glad we put that on ours, right? Good. Okay. Leader. That's awesome.
Respectful.
Nice. Okay. Guys, pay attention. Sensitive. Ooh. Now, what do you mean by sensitive? Doesn't do something ridiculous like get you a terrible birthday present. So guys, like, don't go for like the whoopee cushion. You know, that's probably not a good one for your girlfriend. Don't do that. Okay. Anything that has to do with 1 Corinthians 13. Okay, so the love passage. Gotcha. What is that? Love is patient, kind, gentle, you know, doesn't hold on to wrongs, all that kind of stuff. Forgiving. We had that one. Okay. Responsible. Okay. Why is responsible important? Yeah. Yeah, you want him to be able to take care of stuff. He's not reckless with money. He's not just doing crazy, stupid stuff. Absolutely. Listening. How many, did all you girls come up, was listening important to a lot of you, or is that, or just generally, for you personally, if you're a girl, is listening important to you? Okay. Yes. Guys, listening. Important. One more. Okay, good sense of humor. We were talking about that a little bit, like, you know, you don't have to be the super serious stoic guy all the time, but you obviously can't be the goofy, stupid guy all the time, right? Like, girls, you don't want this the guy who's always being stupid. That's probably, I mean, again, it's funny for a little while. Then after a while, you're just like, seriously? Okay. Okay, cool. Awesome. Now, let's say for the guys. So, girls, now you get to listen in. Guys, what were some of the traits that you were looking for in a godly woman? Winston, are you just going to say, just point to Sylvia next to you? And good cook. Okay, I gotta say, that was the high schoolers. I gotta say, the middle schoolers, we weren't looking at shallow things like cooking. We were going for deep heart issues, so. Say again? Oh, it's a health issue. Oh. So you just don't want them cooking like things with botulism and that kind of stuff. Okay. Okay, so no eating out all the time. Okay, Isaiah, what else? What? Self-control. Talk about that one. Okay, so she's kind of got a serious side. She's controlled, maybe also kind of in the same things, kind of like controlled in spending or controlled in her reactions. She's not just always kind of reacting out of emotion. She kind of keeps herself in check a little bit. Okay, so guys, what else? What are some things that we were looking for? Loves God above all else. Okay, that was again kind of the given, but ladies, just so you know, that is important. That is terribly important. Okay, what else? What are some other good ones? Responsible. What is that? The rest of you guys can help them too. You guys helped come up with this list. Yeah. Okay. Helping, taking care of things, right? Responsible. You know, she's, again, kind of like the flip side for the guy. You know, she's not just reckless with stuff. You know, again, whether it's going to be money or just the resources she has, she doesn't trash what she has. She respects things, responsible. Tyler, what else?
She loves her family and the other people around her.
Okay. Okay, so she respects others. Why is that important? Absolutely. And because, like, girls, if you want to know, like, in a relationship, things have boiled, a lot of people boil down. Girls, one of your chief desires typically is to be loved and kind of cherished and this stuff. Guys, we want to be loved too, but there's a huge part of it is we want to be respected. So if you talk to a guy and, like, if he's with a girl who doesn't respect him, he's going to be dissatisfied and he's not going to be as willing to love and give that love. So respect is a big thing for guys. So when he sees a girl who's respectful to other people and she respects the other authorities and that kind of stuff we talked about, that's a good sign and that's attractive. Give me a couple other good ones. Hardworking. Why is that important? Okay, so she's not lazy and slacking. And we came up with another one, too, is kind of the hardworking, because that's part of also, like, we want somebody who's going to work alongside of us, right? You know, that's what Eve was created for. It was a help. She was a helper for Adam. We want someone who's going to work with us. We don't want to have to do everything, and we don't want to make, and a good guy's not going to make you do everything as a lady, but we want someone who's going to partner with us to do the hard work of life together. Let's do one more, and then we're going to call it quits. Anyone have one more good one? I feel like we had a bunch of good ones. Flexible. Now, you're not talking about, like, doing the splits, right? Because that's, that's terrible. What do you got? Okay. So someone who's somewhat adaptable. Good. Okay. So someone who's not, you know, someone who can take things well, can handle hard situations and can adapt their, I take that as one of the core things is they're rooted in who they are so that they're not blown over by problems when they come. They're firmly established in their identity in Christ, their faith and trust in Him, and so that they can withstand things and they can adapt when things come. So those are all great stuff. Cool. So you guys have those lists? Like, seriously, keep them. Use them as your profile. Because here we're going to talk about, when we're talking about dating. Last night we said, you know, is it possible to date and marry the wrong type of person? Yes, that's why you need a profile of that person. So when we come to dating here, let me ask you guys this. What, in your culture, in your world here, how would you define a date? What is a date? Tyler. Okay.
Even though, to be honest, it's going out on actual dates, going out to eat, going to a movie, hanging out, spending quality time.
Okay. So there's a lot of, okay. And I'll get one from a girl and then we'll go, what's dating?
It's almost like happy better so that everything revolves around you. And,
okay.
But, like, what I would think in, like, just regular life is getting to know the person to see if you would like to become their wife.
Okay. Glad you went there. We're kind of going that direction. So there's a lot of different ways we view dating, and there's some things like, but here's, we're going to be talking about dating here, and you'll hear some people, like some Christians, you know, will definitely tell you, like, you shouldn't date, you know, ever, or something like this. And like, that was kind of where I was growing up. Like, I even, like, Sean and I made a commitment when we were in high school, like, I wasn't going to date until after high school. So, like, that's one of the reasons I've only dated one girl is because I didn't date in high school. It's not because I was homeschooled and there was no girls around. I had options, no thing. I'm kidding, I really didn't. But here, we're going to put up some definitions of dating so that we have some common language. I want you guys to understand here. So we're talking about a date. Let's go in here. Do we have the fill in the blank there of what the date is? Here we go. So for you guys to think about this, a date is a casual, shared time at an event. It is not exclusive. There are no expectations and no escalation. Here's what that means. I think it's actually a good thing for you guys to go on dates. Now, some of you are going to be like, yes, he says we can date now. Woohoo! Okay, but by this definition, a casual shared time at an event. And isn't that the most boring idea ever? You're like, shared time at an event? So like, guys, you want to go up to a girl and say, would you like to come for a casual shared time at an event with no expectations, no escalation, and non-exclusive? That's right. That gets the girls right there, right? You're like, oh, that's good. But that's the whole point is this is just getting to know somebody. This is like hanging out. This is like, you know, you've got some friends and you're like, hey, let's all go see a movie. Technically, that could be a date. But the non-exclusive, that means this isn't like you and I. We are going to go by ourselves and do this thing. That is just not smart. Going off by yourselves and having a whole lot of time together, it's not smart right now, and it's not necessary to get to know somebody at those levels. We'll talk about that a little bit more. No expectations. Here's the deal. Half the time, like, when the date's over, what are typically the expectations? What usually happens? Like, well, some people are like, do you kiss? Okay. Or, like, what about phone calls? Are phone calls required? Texting? Yeah, now it's texting. But, like, texting, that's kind of required. Like, well, like, if we went on a date, why didn't he text me the next day, right? He's not texting. He's not answering my Snapchats. I messaged him on Facebook. You guys aren't on Facebook, so it doesn't matter. You know, I tweeted him, you know, hashtag, you know, best date ever. But, you know, a good date, no expectations. You don't have to get in touch again because this is not exclusive. You don't have exclusive rights to that person. And no escalation. That means you don't automatically jump to, oh, well, we went to the movies by ourselves. Now next time we got to go to dinner. Oh, and the next time, you know, I got to meet her parents. And it's like, whoa, pump the brakes, bro. Like, you don't need to go that fast. This type of relationship, you just need to be getting to know a person, just on a friendship level, okay? Because one of the things, I don't think it's on my notes here or anywhere else, but you guys know, like, in Scripture, there aren't a lot of categories for people besides married and brothers and sisters in Christ. Like, there really aren't. You look at the categories of how men and women relate to each other. If we're in Christ, so we're Christians, you're either a brother and sister or you're married. So if you wonder how to know how to relate to somebody, I don't know if I'm stealing this part of Chris's thunder later, but it's okay. But it's you're either married or you're brother and sister. Brother and sisters don't do a lot of escalation. Like, you're not, like, you know, holding hands and, like, kissing and, like, you don't kiss your bro. You do not do that. You don't kiss your sister like that. You do not hold her hand like that. You're not always, like, you know, rubbing her back like that. No. So, anyway, no escalation. But dating, here's what we're going to talk. So that's a date, but dating is what we're going to talk about. There's a difference here. And I got to speed through this, sorry. I have to apologize. Last night I went way long, so I'm going to have to speed through this stuff. Dating. Put it up, please. Okay. Dating is exclusive. It is repetitive get-togethers that build deeper relational ties towards marriage. So when we're looking at this, dating is that exclusive thing where you are intentionally getting together one-on-one or just like with really spending time with this person. And the exclusive part of it, it's about kind of being, you know, together, but it also means that no one else has this type of access to this person. It means I have a privileged spot in this person's life, and they have a privileged spot in my life that we do not share with other people. That's exclusive. And it builds deeper relational ties towards marriage. That means you start to open up and be vulnerable with one another. You're sharing experiences. You're starting to share your heart a little bit. And you want to wait to do that. The reason why you don't do that as just a normal date is because, again, you don't know that person. And what if they're not meant to stay together and you've just shared a lot of your heart with that person? It's unwise and it hurts later. So this is our definitions of date and dating. And so that when we talk about that, this is what we're going on and this is what we're looking at. And this is really what we see in Song of Solomon. So if you guys have your Bibles, please open back up to them. We are going to be starting in chapter, kind of where we left off, chapter 1, verse 9. Okay, chapter 1, verse 9. And we're going to really see how their dating relationship kind of works out. We have the characters. It's the man and the woman, Solomon and a girl or whoever the character is. And we get to see how they do this dating relationship because they are dating. This is not just the casual, we're hanging out. They are intentional about this and it's great. So turn to your Bibles. We're going to pray real quick and we're going to jump right in and I will move right along. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time now. I pray that you would just bless this time, that you would really reveal to us your plan for relationships. And I would pray that you would help us learn how to do dating well so that it can be enjoyable, but it can be beneficial and it will lift us up and build us into the sons and daughters of Christ that you have called us to be. Help us to be more and more like your son, even in dating. We ask this in your name. Amen. So, chapter 1, verse 9. I love this. This is talking now. This is the guy talking. He says, I liken you, my darling, to a mare harnessed to one of the chariots of Pharaoh. Girls, do you really want a guy? Do you know what a mare is? What's a mare? Do you guys know? A horse. Does that sound romantic to you? Girl, you are like a horse on a chariot. Like, yeah, that's not like the typical romantic. But what he's saying, you know, a horse harnessed to one of Pharaoh's chariots. Pharaoh at the time, that was like a king. A king wouldn't have just any old horse. He would have the best horse, the most prized horse. And you see, like, if you've ever seen beautiful horses, they do look beautiful. They're elegant. They're well-groomed. They're well-kept. They're just like, you're like, that is a beautiful creature. That's what he's saying. He is just heaping on. He's saying, you are a prized being to me. He's saying, you are cherished. Because Pharaoh would just cherish. He would pamper his horses like that. So he's saying, I value you as cherishable, and I want to pamper you and take care of you. He keeps on going, your cheeks are beautiful with earrings. Isn't that weird, your cheeks with earrings? That's interesting. Your neck with strings of jewels, we will make you earrings of gold studded with silver. This is really nice. What he is doing is, he is just complimenting the junk out of her. I mean, he's not, you know, just kidding around with her saying like, yeah, you look okay today. You know, like, no, he is just being straight up, you are beautiful. I prize you. I cherish you. Everything about you is wonderful. Guys, do that. You'll be golden, okay? That should be on Link's golden advice. Just love your lady, all right? Now, she continues, and this is where she is also talking about how he treats her. Listen to this. While the king was at his table, my perfume spread its fragrance. My lover, this is getting interesting. My lover is to me a sachet of myrrh resting between my breasts. My lover is to me a cluster of henna blossoms from the vineyards of En-Gedi. Now, most of you guys are like, did he just say that? Okay, so what's she talking about here? Okay. She's talking about how he treats her. She says, while the king was at his table, my perfume spread its fragrance. So he's invited her to a place of kind of honor and respect. You know, he's a king. You know, he has all this power and authority. She's just a lowly girl who's working the vineyards and stuff. But he has brought her and elevated her and put her in a place of respect and honor. And this phrase here that, it, again, is pretty, like, giggle-worthy, but no one giggled, which I'm thinking you're just in shock that I said it. But my lover is to me a sachet of myrrh resting between my breasts. Myrrh is like a as a perfume, as a fragrance. And so she's saying she would, you know, a necklace hangs down, okay? So it's not like anything weird yet. She's like, this would be like, and they would wear like a pouch on a necklace, perfume sitting there, and it would offer fragrance all this time again. So she's saying, my lover is to me fragrance that makes me feel good. It makes me smell good. He treats her so well that she is becoming what she wanted to be. Like when she considers herself kind of dirty and lowly, and his treatment of her makes her feel good about herself. He's giving her self-esteem. He's making her feel beautiful. He's making her feel fragrant and actually wonderful again. That's his treatment of her. And that's what she is responding to. It's so good. It is so good. Now, this is great. He just keeps on going in here. He responds, how beautiful you are, my darling. Oh, how beautiful. Your eyes are doves. Some of the language in here is really interesting. Like, I don't get the doves thing. It's crazy. But he is just, again, lavishing this compliment on her. He keeps on going. She says, oh, how handsome you are, my lover. Oh, how charming. Our bed is verdant. Does anyone else have a word there in chapter in verse 16? What else does it say? Does anyone else have any other translations besides verdant? Green. Okay, stuff like that. So what is this talking about? Okay, this is really talking about verdant or green. It has the idea of like springtime, which is about to come, right? What happens in spring is things kind of start greening up. Things are growing. Things are starting to, they haven't produced fruit yet. Right? So when she says our bed or our couch is verdant, it's saying they haven't done anything yet, but things are starting to get ready, right? Things are starting to grow. They're starting to kind of green up. They're starting to ripen. Flowers are, you know, the buds are coming out and things are like, when in springtime gets come, like I am super happy for the warm weather and like I have azaleas at my house and they're blooming now. So I'm like, oh, hey, things are going to get warm. It's about to come. And so she's really saying like, this process is going well, and she's getting excited, looking forward to this relationship that they are nurturing, just like you nurture a garden. It's greening up. Things are starting to grow and get healthy. It's a good thing that she's saying. It's awesome, and I just lost my place in my Bible. I'm sorry. Here we go. He says in verse 17, the beams of our house are cedars, our rafters are firs. Now, again, you're like, what the heck are you talking about, guy? Seriously? But what he's really talking about here is there's a sense of everything is kind of open. There's other translations where it talks about things being open. They have an open relationship. Now, that's not in the sense that you hear it now like, oh, we have an open relationship so I can see other women. No. That's not what he's talking about. What he's saying is, We do all of our, you know, our relationship is open to the public. People can see into what we're doing. We're not hiding. We're not doing this in secrecy and kind of, you know, sneaking around so our parents don't see us and do it. He's saying our relationship is open and we've invited people. That's why you see, you have different times, like in verse 8, we didn't read it, but my heading has friends and it talks a bit, it's like other people speaking about their lives and their relationship. The relationship has accountability. People are seeing this and they get the affirmation of their friends. Their friends are going, you guys go. You guys are rocking it. You guys are doing great. Keep going. And that's what he's saying is we're doing this in public. So, and there's something that comes with it. It's not hidden desire kind of secrets. And here's something else. Like, do you guys know how prevalent sexting is in your culture and society? You guys have any idea, like, I actually didn't write all the numbers down, but I was watching a video yesterday with Chris and stuff. And we were looking at it, like, it is insane how much sexting happens. And that can be, if you guys don't know what sexting is, I'm just going to prepare you for, this is the bad version of sex that you're going to get. But this is where, you know, even in middle school, you have people taking either graphic pictures of themselves naked or something like that and sending it to their girlfriend, boyfriend, or whatever, or anyone, or they're texting sexually explicit activities and words to their friends. That happens all the time, and it's this thing done in secret. Do you guys know why Snapchat was created? For that. Because then the picture wasn't stored on your phone and no one could catch you. That's one of the reasons why I hate Snapchat. But like, that's what it was for. It was no accountability. It was this relationship done in secret. And secrecy, it doesn't produce intimacy. Secrecy produces shame. So when you're having a relationship, if you want to avoid shame, if you want to enjoy guilt, you open your relationship to the public. You're totally above board. You're letting your parents know what you're doing and who you're doing it with. 30 minutes to, I can't read it, break. I gotcha. I know. So, secrecy, bad. Public, good. All right. Where are we? I lost my place because you distracted me. There we go. 17, 18. So now we are moving into chapter 2. This keeps on going good. I am a rose of Sharon, a lily of the valley. Oh, good words. And he says, a lily among thorns is my darling among the maidens. How did she describe herself in the first chapter? Dark skin, I'm burnt, I'm just working. And now what does she describe herself as? A rose of Sharon, a lily. That's a flower. How is she feeling about herself right now? She's feeling pretty good. What changed? Yeah, the way he treated her increases her self-value. Guys, that's what you need to be with the girl that you're with. If it's the girl that you're seriously dating or the one that you're going to marry someday, we looked in Ephesians 5 last night. That's the responsibility of the man, is to elevate his wife, to increase her self-esteem, her value, her worth, to cherish her and present her as better than you met her. Whoever you're dating, you need to leave her better than you met her. That's your goal. It's not to get stuff for you. It's to leave her better than you met her. If she's not the one, however far you go, you leave her better. And that's what she's experiencing. Verse 3, she's talking about the guy. Like an apple tree among the trees of the forest is my lover among the young men. I delight to sit in his shade, and his fruit is sweet to my taste. He has taken me to the banquet hall, and his banner over me is love. This is great. She is saying that he is a protector and a provider, an apple tree among the forest. He provides, like an apple tree actually bears fruit. Regular trees are just trees. But she's like, he's actually providing for me. I get nourishment from him physically, I mean, emotionally. He's, like we said, provider, protector. It is good. His arm, you know, I sit in, you know, what does she say? Da, 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 da. He has taken me to the banquet hall. He's brought her to where he is. He's showing, giving her a place of esteem. His banner over me is love. He is that part of that wording is like a military banner where they'd like stake their flag out, you know, like you'd have like cohorts and stuff and they'd have banners that they carry in front of. And that was saying like, this is who we are. We're kind of like, this is our area. And he has placed his banner over her. He has made that public claim that this is my girl. She's with me. I'm with her. You don't mess with her. He is publicly declaring his allegiance to her. He's not like this guy who's like, yeah, we're kind of in a relationship, and it's kind of like, no. He is just all in. She's with me. I'm with her. That's what we're trying to be. And that is good. All right. I'm going to skip down here to a really good part here. Well, she says, strengthen me with raisins, refresh me with apples, for I am faint with love. His left arm is under my head, and his right arm embraces me. Part of this language here is she is getting like super into this. Strengthen me with apples and raisins. These are fruit that they believed would kind of produce fertility and stuff, like, and help like baby making and stuff. And you guys are getting like, what? But she really likes this guy. She wants him bad. I mean, and she says his left arm is under my head. So his left arm under her head, his right embraces her. This is kind of what she's wanting right now. She wants to be like in this really intimate embrace, left arm under, right arm, you know, and she's like, but here, this next voice that comes in, this next verse is so important. Pay attention. Daughters of Jerusalem, I charge you by the gazelles and by the does of the field, do not arouse or awaken love until it so desires. This sentence right here is repeated 3 times in this book. Just like that. Pretty much. It is so important because as she is experiencing all this attraction welling up inside her and she's really wanting more and more and more and more and more, this comes in at key moments in this book, at key moments when she is just about to express everything and it says, whoa, but hold on. do not stir this up until it so desires. Or another version says, until the appropriate time. This is so important. They repeat it three times. All these emotions, these feelings, even she's feeling these kind of starting to feel these sexual desires and things. It is good. And they're not saying this is a bad thing. Don't ever do it. They said, until the right time, wait. Wait until the right time. And we're going to see the fruit of her waiting later. I want to briefly say, I'm a virgin and I'm 26 years old, and that's like probably almost unheard of for most guys my age who are single. But that's okay. And if I was, I'm glad I was homeschooled, so I didn't have to. But if you're in a public school system, if you're around other people, you will probably be mocked if you do what this is, and if you decide to wait until it's time. You will probably be made fun of. People are going to, especially guys, it's kind of this whole rite of passage thing, like, what, dude, you haven't slept with a girl yet? Are you not a man? Are you not this? It's like, no. You can let them say that. You take it. But if you're a man of character and integrity, you wait until the appropriate time. And you also, part of that is you're not abusing a girl. You're not using her just to get your status. You're not doing that. And girls, you're probably going to feel that pressure like, oh, well, I'm nothing. I'm not valuable if a guy hasn't slept with me yet. That means I must not be worthy. I must not be likable if no guy wants to sleep with me. That's not right at all. That is not right at all. And don't buy into that for a second. Okay? Really believe this. Do not arouse or awaken these things. Don't pursue. Don't stir it up until the right time. So a couple dating tips for you is just as you're going in the dating process, which is talking about repetitive or just even, or actually as you're just going on dates, we said it's okay to go on dates. Part of that is just to keep it casual. You want to get to know somebody, keep it real casual. Don't go out to Carrabba's and have a candlelit dinner over Chicken Brian and not expect things to kind of get serious. Like, keep it casual, right? Keep it friendly, non-exclusive. A real practical suggestion, especially for the guys, don't initiate touching. Like, don't be like, don't try to sit right next to her and like, lean on each other. Don't immediately even go to hand holding. Like, you guys may think I'm crazy, but you don't even know. Like, seriously, you think it's just hand holding. When I got to hold like a girl's hand for the first time, it was like, there's something that happens when, like, especially some people are really wired for physical affection, that kind of stuff. Physical touch is really important, and that starts to stir up emotions even more. So if you're just on a casual date with somebody, you don't need to be touching her all over her. I mean, if you want, you may do a little bit of a hug, before you leave or something, but I would even say you don't even need that, Bye, have fun, see you in school. Whatever, you don't need to go farther than you need to. If we're trying to build a lasting relationship, think of it as an illustration of a fire. When you're building a good fire, you don't just put pine straw and gasoline on it and be, woo, now I'm going to have heat all night. What's going to happen? It's going to get like 8 feet tall, really 8 feet tall really quick, and then whoo, it's gone. And you're going to have no heat. You can't cook. You can't light anything. You're going to be cold in about 2 minutes. If you want to build a good fire, you build coals. Patient building, slowly establishing coals. You take your time with it. And when you build a good fire with hot coals, that can last all night long. It can provide heat. You can cook with it. It's useful. So just use that as a good illustration here. Here's something to go over to also really quick. We want to talk about, as far as dating principles, there's this man's character revealed, woman's response. We've already gone there. The law of diminishing returns. This is super important. When you're talking about dating and how do I go about dating, okay? Go ahead, put it up here. The further you go in a relationship, let's say physically, emotionally, spiritually, passing certain boundaries. So let's say, I started with hand-holding. Next, we're doing, cuddling. The further you go, the faster you go. Okay, so when you go to hand-holding, maybe it took you a couple months to get to hand-holding. How long is it going to be before you want to be spending a long time cuddling? It's going to be like, oh man, you want to get there now. Like, 2 days later, man, I want to go already going to cuddling. After you go to cuddling, man, I kind of want to kiss her, dude. Like, I want to do it. So the further you go, the faster you go, and the harder it is to stop. It's like a train picking up momentum. You know, it takes a while for a train to get going because it's got to do this. But as the longer it's going on those tracks, it builds momentum and it starts to get fast. And how long does it take for a train to stop? A long time, because it has so much momentum built up behind it, and it is just roaring down those tracks. And it takes sometimes miles for those things to come to a full stop. So the further you go in a relationship, physically, emotionally, the more details you share, the more intimate you get, the farther you're going to want to go, and the harder it is to stop. And Chris is going to talk about more of this, so I'm not going to steal all of his thunder. Okay. Chapter 2, we're going to keep on moving through. We're still good. Yeah, we're still good on time. We're still going. Okay. Verse 8. Listen, my lover, look, here he comes, leaping across the mountains and bounding over hills. I'm just imagining this guy like, ha ha. Actually, in a serious thing, I'm imagining like Captain America. You know, like when he runs through the streets, he is like leaping and bounding and like jumping off cars. And they're like, I'm like, that dude is like, the picture here is he is coming. He is interested on her. He is just like chasing after her. It's awesome. My lover is like a gazelle or a young stag. Look, there he stands behind our wall, gazing through the windows, peering through the lattice. Now, he's not a creeper, okay? So guys, don't try to do this. You know, don't stalk the girl. You know, find her fence and just do one of those like, how you doing? You know, don't do those moves. That's creepy. You can get arrested. You know, so don't do that. But he's interested in her. He's seeking after her. He's taking the initiative. That's one of the things that we talked about as guys. Leadership involves initiative. He's not just waiting on her to do all, make all the advancements. She's not having to plan all the dates. She's not having to suggest when they should get together. He's going, hey, you want to get together? Hey, I really like you. I kind of want to be around you. Hey, you want to do this? He's pursuing her, which is great. She said, my lover spoke to me and said to me, arise, my darling, my beautiful one, and come with me. See, the winter is past, the rains are over and gone, flowers appear on the earth, the season of singing has come. They're singing. I'm imagining like the Sound of Music, the hills are alive, and they're just like, la, da, da, da. Like, it's just, these people, like, part of the, I'm just getting here is, they are in love, and they are loving it. And it is good. It is a good thing. The fig tree forms its early fruit. The blossoming vines spread their fragrance. Arise, come, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me. Oh, this is so good. This is so good. Here he goes. My dove in the clefts of the rock, in the hiding places on the mountainside. Show me your face. Let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. So what's happened here? She just got over like, they are so in love. And then he has to call her, and he calls her my dove hiding in the clefts of the rock. The image here, imagine kind of a bird kind of stuck up in the clefts of the rock, kind of timid. Now what's happened? Because they were just both into it, and now he's describing her as kind of timid, and he's having to kind of call her back out. Well, what it seems like is just perhaps some of her kind of old insecurities have come back. You know, she's kind of doubting, and he's calling her back, and he's reassuring her. This is something that's just generally inherent, a difference kind of between guys and girls. Girls are wrestling through the insecurities. Yeah, she's going through her insecurities. And he sees that, and he doesn't just kind of ignore that, or he doesn't just say, well, get over it. What he does is he calls her back out. He reassures her. He is that voice going, no, you are beautiful. Behold, I want to see you. I want to be around you. I really want this. He's reassuring her in that security role. That's part of the protector thing that you girls were talking about, right? He's coming back after her, calming her, comforting her. It's really good. And if she's this insecure, here's where we talk about, like, why is it a bad idea to have a ton of dating relationships? Because every time you break that off, it gives you baggage, right? Every person you're with, you kind of have now this extra experience in this baggage. And if insecurities are a normal thing, imagine how bad this would be if she had like 17 other guys who had dumped her and been crappy to her. How much more insecure is that? How much less likely is she to trust this next guy? That's why dating experience isn't a good thing. Some people are like, oh, you need a lot of experience in dating relationships. Really? Bad experiences? You want a bunch of bad experiences in your relationships? That's not how you build for a good relationship. it's not necessarily a good thing. This next verse is really important too. Catch for us the foxes, the little foxes that ruin the vineyards, our vineyards that are in bloom. So what's the idea here? Is there's foxes, and they go through, and they're ruining parts of the crops. They're ruining the animals. And so he's saying, and the kind of the idea of the vineyards that they're using is the concept for their relationship. So he's saying, there's these things that are attacking our relationship, enemies of the relationship. And we need to work together. We need to root those out. We need to stop those. What are some enemies of a relationship that you guys would see? What are some things that destroy relationships? Your friends? In what way? Okay. Yeah, so you've got that. You have bad influences on the outside, people trying to speak in that aren't healthy. Absolutely. What else? Okay, past relationships. That's definitely a big thing that can ruin this relationship, those experiences that you're bringing or that someone else is bringing. Because when you date someone else, there's now this other kind of person that has something connected with you. It's definitely hard. Joseph? Selfish, right. Selfishness in a relationship is a relationship killer. It needs to be rooted out. What are some of the things? Could be parents, although a brief pause here, just since they're brought up, like, could be, but typically, I'm not going to have a whole lot of time to explain this, and you can talk about this in a small group later, but if your parents aren't signing off on your boyfriend or girlfriend, that's red flag number two. Red flag number one is if they're a Christian or not. Red flag number two, if mom and dad are like, I don't think he's good for you. That should really start sounding all sorts of sirens and big things like, you know why? Because your parents have already gone through the dating thing. Your parents have seen many more relationships than you've ever seen in your life. You think, no way, I'm in middle school now. I've seen it all. No. They've been through middle school, high school, college, adulthood. They've seen relationships come, go. They've seen people do it right. They've seen people do it wrong. They have so much more knowledge, and they can just spot key factors, and they just go, yeah, no, that kid, no. They look at the way he's treating his parents. They look at the way he does his schoolwork. They look at the way, they go, no, he's not good. So just a little aside here, a bonus point, you know, if your parents aren't signing off, really take a second step and go, am I missing something? Go back to your profile. Is this person really matching up? If you have godly parents, they've trust them, okay? So there's a lot of enemies of the relationship. And this thing is saying you need to proactively seek out things that will destroy the relationship and guard against those. Just as you have a list of good traits, look how, you know, come up with a list of things. What are things that are going to break this? You know, bad communication, you know, unfaithfulness, you know, lack of discipline, all these different things, no boundaries, no accountability. He's saying they need to work together. Let us catch these foxes. And it's not just saying one person in the relationship is going to make it all good. They're saying we need to work together and protect this relationship. Moving on here, verse 16. My lover is mine and I am his. He browses among the lilies. I love this passage real quick just because there's a mutual ownership in the relationship, right? Now we say as a guy, you know, we'll say, oh, this is my woman, right? Honestly, like, I think that's kind of cool. He's kind of staked his claim, but like the way he responds with her is he says, yeah, she's mine and I'm hers. I belong to her, she belongs to me. And that kind of deep, exclusive, this is moving towards marriage. They have that mutual ownership. And my lover browses among the lilies. When you walk among flowers, you're not just being like, you know, he's not just tearing through like, he's moving gently through them. So this shows that he's a gentle guy, okay? He's not just like, I'm gentle and dainty, you know, he doesn't have to be like this. But he's gentle in a good way. He treats things that are soft and delicate the way they're supposed to be treated. He knows how to change that. When Chris talked about meekness a couple weeks ago, it was power under control. He knows when to be forceful and he knows when to be gentle. And that's wonderful for her. All right. Until the day breaks and the shadows flee, turn, my lover, and be like a gazelle or a young stag on the rugged hills. Now, this next section, we'll just kind of go over real quick, and then I have to go to the end here because we're running out of time, so I'm not going to be able to get everything through here. I'm just going to read this passage and kind of hit some main points at the end. All night long on my bed, I looked for the one my heart loves. I looked for him but did not find him. I will get up now and go about the city. Through its streets and squares, I will search for the one my heart loves. So I looked for him but did not find him. The watchmen found me as they made their rounds in the city. Have you seen the one my heart loves? Scarcely had I passed them when I found the one my heart loves. I held him and would not let him go till I had brought him to my mother's house, to the room of the one who conceived me. Here again, here it is. Daughters of Jerusalem, I charge you, by the gazelles and the does of the field, do not arouse or awaken love until it so desires, or until the appropriate time. What's she doing here? She is just consumed with this guy, passionately consumed with him. She is desiring him all the time. Some people think this is kind of maybe a dream sequence, or she is really doing this, but the point is she is pursuing this guy with all it. She can't stop thinking about him. At night, she's thinking about him. Girls, you've ever been that way about a guy? You're like, I just can't stop thinking about him. He's all I think about. I just can't go to sleep. Like, that's where she is. She is ready. Now, there's a little bit of a difference here that I want to just kind of briefly point out. The difference between guys and girls. Guys typically have the capability to compartmentalize really well, okay? I actually kind of pride myself, I'm actually really good at compartmentalizing, like maybe to a bad extent, even in relationships. So what that means is this. So especially when a guy's in a relationship, you know, he could be really all in and he could be really liking this girl. But guess what? When it's time to like, okay, I got to do school or I got to do sports, okay, girl, it's like having a little file cabinet. He just goes, shh, shh, okay, I like this girl. She's going to be great. She's going to my special folder. But I go in there, I close her up. Now I go pull out, here's my sports folder. Boom, all in the sports mode. Okay, guys, here we go. We're ready to go. What's the plan? We're going to do this. Okay, good. And he moves on. Girls don't function that way. Guys, so that you know, like, girls don't function that way. When they are all about a guy, it's like a big, huge, like, whiteboard. And then she's got, like, you know, she's got, like, this circle here with, you know, or it's the big thing in the middle. This is, like, gym. He's here. This is my life here. But then I got school to worry about and this and family. And I've got sports and I've got music and I got to do this. And I got to get into college and I got to get scholarships and I got to please my parents. But I got to get deal with him. So I got to get him a birthday card. And his mother's birthday's coming up. So I can't forget her because I want to get on her good side. And she is thinking about all of these things all the time. Guys, you're sitting there going. How? Seriously, like we don't get it. These guys are going, yeah, how do they do that? I don't know. I don't know. I'm not a girl. I can't fathom that kind of capacity to hold all these things in my brain at once. But they do. So part of the thing is you guys need to know is that's one of the ways we be gentle. We respect the way that they're doing this. And that'll often cause a girl to question his seriousness. Because they're like, but how can you just go about your life normally when this is that when all this stuff is going on? And he's like, because I was watching TV and I forgot. You know, because the game was on, because that commercial looked really funny. You know, you just came. April, what? She's done. Proof. Right? See, there you go, guys. It's true. So this is something for you. This is something for y'all just to keep in mind. This is what also goes back. I'm kind of going, kind of wrapping this and going back to the beginning. God has created men and women differently. For a reason. Thank you, Winston. That's why it is God's beautiful design that when we come together, we complement each other. Where women are good at keeping all these things in their mind, that is a good thing because guys may forget and they're like, oh, thank you. Yeah, I totally wasn't thinking of that. And a guy can compartmentalize a little bit. So when the girl's freaking out over all this kind of stuff, he can be like, honey, it's okay. Let's just focus on this right now. Let's just take it one step at a time. It's okay. We're going to get through this. You know, and do it as lovingly as he can. It may not work all the time, but just as lovingly as he can. That's where you bring your strengths and her strengths come together and make a stronger relationship. If you had it all compartmentalized, it would be boring and lacking any kind of life. if you had it all kind of crazy and messed up all the time, it would just be crazy and messed up all the time. And there'd be no stability. That's why we need them both. And that's why God has created us to come together in one glorious relationship. And when it's done right, it's to be celebrated. And that's what we're going to talk about in the next session here. We don't have another slide. I'm not missing anything else, right? Is that the end? We're good. Well, bottom line here. Yeah, put up the bottom line, and then we'll be able to go. So we already said this, but dating is an exclusive relationship. Moving a man and a woman, that's why those two different parts, toward marriage. Dating is an exclusive relationship. So when are you ready to begin dating? Okay, we'll just go ahead and put this stuff up, and you guys can write it down, and then we'll be done. When you're ready to begin dating, if it's going towards marriage, it's when you're living a Christ-centered life. That's the become the type of person the person you're looking for is looking for. If you want someone who, again, we always said, oh, he needs to be a Christian first and foremost. She needs to be a Christian first and foremost. So what do you need to be? And not just a Christian, you need to be living the Christ-centered life, fully devoted to him. When the other person is living a Christ-centered life, you don't put two people who aren't equally committed to Christ together. It doesn't happen. And three, when you're ready to get married. What I'll say about this is a simple. If dating is moving towards marriage, if you're nowhere near ready to get married, either emotionally or spiritually or physically, like if you're a dude who doesn't have a job, is still living at home, has no way to support a family, how are you ready to get married? You're not going to live at your parents' house once you're married. Or you shouldn't. She ain't gonna like that. So if you're nowhere near ready, why would you start the process if you're not ready to get married? See? Now, if some of you are doing the math, you're like, well, I'm in high school and I'm nowhere near that. Think about that. So what does that mean? Maybe you're not ready to date in high school. In this definition, you're nowhere near ready for marriage. Nope. Be honest with yourself. So, you got all that? That is good stuff. Please think about this. And like I said, dating is important. Dating can be a good thing done right. Okay? So seriously, take into account these last two things. That profile, use that for dating. And then think about this stuff. Are you ready for marriage? Are you living a Christ-centered life? Are you submitted to him first? Is the person you're looking at submitted to him first in their life? Then you can start pursuing that. Okay? Okay, so I'm going to pray real quick, and then Sean's going to come up, and we're going to have some music to finish up. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for, creating us differently, men and women, and you've created it so that it's exciting, and so that when we get into these relationships where emotions are stirred, and we are attracted to someone else, and we start to form connections, it's full of life, like they were describing, all these things. It's verdant, it's green, there's blossoming things. It is a good and joyful and glorious experience when it's done right. So I pray, Lord, that what we've talked about this morning will start to sink in and we'll give actual good guidance for how to be able to enjoy a dating relationship and how it will actually prepare us for marriage, the ultimate union between a man and a woman, which glorifies you because it's your image brought together, and it can be an example of the gospel to the world. We thank you for this truth. We thank you for how you've created us. And we thank you for Jesus. Help us to love you more. In your son's name, amen.
The preceding podcast was a presentation of Sand Hills Community Church. You can sign up for our weekly podcast at www.sandhillschurch.org.